Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's that was Wretched creepy. Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A like infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What have you seen this week that's wretched? Come on, you can't tell me you haven't seen wretched things, because let's face it, that's pretty much what the internet is. But when you see something capital W wretched and you think, perfect, would you please send it to us? We would covet sermons, articles, stories, whatever is capital W wretched, send it to idea@wretched.org. And if you got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks even, although Snagglepuss. Oh, I don't know how I got from snarks to Snagglepuss, but in my mind, I just did.
That was on my list.
Yeah, that we think, put him up.
That's right.
Okay, it wasn't just the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah.
We think, based on the emails we've been receiving, it's Snagglepuss.
And I got several texts as well, yeah.
Now, did we actually find the sound of Snagglepuss saying
no,
that?
No. I did look for it, but I could not find it.
Do I remember Snagglepuss had kind of that...
He sounds just like the Cowardly Lion, though.
I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without being offensive. It just seems that if Snagglepuss were alive today, he might be marching in a pride parade. That's all I'm saying. That's how it always struck me. And so we don't have the sound of him saying, put him up. But it was, he didn't talk like the Cowardly Lion. It was kind of that lilting thing that he had going on. Well, if you find that, you can send it to idea@wretched.org. Otherwise, text away to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from James. Todd, I was a terrible father. I was a stumbling block.
Okay, can we just stop right there? James, how do you know you were a terrible father? Who gave you the report card on this? Who's judging you on this? Because the reason that I wanted to interject right there is we have to be careful as parents. We have to remember that there is no perfect parent. We all have regrets. Now, that doesn't give us license to be terrible to our children. No parent wants to be that. But please be careful what sort of curve you're grading yourself on here. If this is just a straight curve and you get no grace whatsoever, there aren't perfect parents except the Lord. And might I interject, look at how his children treated him in the garden. So please be careful with looking back on your parenting career and only focusing on the failures, because we've all got plenty of those. And then I would also interject, for those things that you did to your children that were sinful, don't forget you're a Christian. You're in Christ. Those things have been forgiven and you don't need to rehearse them over and over and over again. Sorry for interrupting, Jimmy.
Well, you pretty much answered
Could
the question.
Could you read this like Snagglepuss?
No. No. Please don't make me.
Go ahead. Give it a go.
I can't. I cannot. I haven't heard.
Oh, by the way. Oh, I forgot. I've got a present for you.
You have a present for me?
I do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were at the TJ Maxx. You know how it is when you're going through that line?
Uh-huh.
And they got all the tchotchkes that you're waiting to go through?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got one for you. I'll get it during the break.
Okay.
It comes with a string attached.
I'm sure it does.
All right, Snagglepuss, what's the rest of the text?
He says, I was a terrible father and a stumbling block for my children. They're grown now.
Hold it. I'm sorry. No, you were not a stumbling block. Your kids are the way your kids are because they choose to be the way that they are. Now, you may have failed as a parent. We all did. You may have sinned as a parent. We all did. But you are not the cause of whatever it is that they are believing today or how they are behaving today. They are adults and this is all on them. Keep your categories clean. You are not the stumbling block for your children. So please do not pistol whip yourself over that. I'm sorry, Snagglepuss.
That's okay.
Take three.
He says they're grown now. My daughter's a lesbian and is married to another woman. I love them both. They're both atheists, by the way. My son and his girlfriend are living together. Any advice or help would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I think I'd start with encouragement. And I would repeat what I've already said, and that is your daughter isn't a lesbian because of you. Your son isn't shacking up because of you. They are choosing it. Their sins are their sins. If you would like to have that emphatically reinforced, read Ezekiel 18. Your sins, your sins. Their sins, their sins. Having said all of that, what might you do with your children that could be something that is positive and helpful? Well, first of all, I would encourage you to keep on loving them. I'm glad you're loving your kids. Awesome. Stay in a relationship with them. Remember, you're a parent. You do not have to kick them out of the house or out of your life because they are not following the Lord. You can love them. You can stay in a relationship with them. And I would add this, even though James did not indicate this was an issue for them, but this would maybe, James, this is for you. But if not, this might be for a lot of us. Repent. Repent to your kids. Now, James, this has nothing to do with how you perceive they've turned out. I think that this is parenting advice for each and every mom and dad who has grown children. If you have never repented to your kids for your sins against them, this is a relationship changer. Like, it can happen on the spot. Because the reality is, even as terrible as your kids may have been, even as disobedient as they possibly were, and as good of a parent as you probably were, the reality is we still sinned against them. And if we've never taken the time to say, son, daughter, I need to repent of some things and ask for your forgiveness. I am sorry. And laundry list it. You will be shocked how it might thaw out a chilly relationship. I've seen it happen over and over again. Sir, I've seen this. It almost happens immediately, where the kids that have been ghosting parents, they suddenly just, and I know you've got a record of their wrongs. I get it. But as believers, as those who are in Christ, the first admission that we make as being a Christian is, I'm a sinner. Admit that to your kids. It will make a massive difference in your relationship. Ask for their forgiveness. And you just might be shocked how the relationship changes. And maybe, James, if that's a necessity in your relationship with your kids, it's not going to suddenly make your daughter straight. And your son is probably not going to stop shacking up. But they might be more willing to talk about spiritual things with you than they were before, because they see that it is real. Now, let's just move away from grown-up kids for a moment. If you've got young kids in the house, they're under 18, they're living with you. Repenting to your kids is one of the most powerful ways you can proclaim the gospel to your kids. You show them that you believe that what you are professing is actually true. You are admitting in a genuine expression of repentance. You are admitting that you are a sinner who is in need of a savior. And that is powerful. The kids, they actually go, okay, mom and dad just don't go to church and put on a show. They actually believe this. They recognize that they're sinners and they're willing to admit it to me, and they're willing to express that they daily need forgiveness from their master. Okay, that's pretty credible. And that can be a powerful witness to your kids. 877-282-2337. That's my Snagglepuss. Best I can do.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how would you respond to Christians who say that swearing is fine as long as it's not directed towards someone? The no corrupting talk reason doesn't usually work well for me. Is it a hard issue or even a sign that they're not truly striving to honor Christ?
Well, every situation is going to be different. Could be a blind spot. What's that horrible thing? I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Okay. Let's not be sinning that grace might more abound and bragging about our sinning. using potty language. I presume that's what you mean by swearing. I doubt that they're like committing oaths in front of you. They're probably using potty language. Bring them to Ephesians 4, starting, I believe, in 4:28, all the way through 5:3 or 4. It does talk, let the Bible be your authority. You can't persuade anybody about anything. Neither can I. There must be an authority. So bring the Bible and say, hey, I'm looking at this. And by the way, I read a number of translations. The word, it's very much about using words that are coarse and filthy. We're supposed to have tongues that use them differently. We speak different words. We speak better words. We don't gutter talk. Let the Bible be your authority. And by the way, if I could just circle back to parenting, that's another parenting tip that can be extremely helpful. You can stop correcting your kids immediately. You do not need to ever again tell your kids that they have done wrong. You don't. You need to let the Bible do the talking, because that brings the authority of God. And by the way, what a kindness of God. It also then protects your relationship. You're not just being a crabby parent. Oh, you're just always on my back. No, this is what God says. And if we use that as an authority with our swearing friends, chances are pretty good, if they are believers, that should impact them. This is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign. And here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch 2 new podcasts. It puts Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know, the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no. Then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all 4 seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1545, the Council of Trent opens. Called by the Roman Catholic Church in response to the Reformation, It addressed abuses in the Catholic Church and further entrenched dogmas concerning the authority of the Pope, the need for works in salvation, and the saving nature of the Mass. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hate to tell you, I told you so. But...
Oh, forsooth, and fivesooth, and to tell you the truth, I feel very happy and keen, because it's the day to be happy and gay.
Told you. Right there it is, Snagglepuss. Told you. This is Wretched Radio. That was the first clip I pulled up. Snagglepuss, the pink lion. I have no idea what it is, but it was the clip that popped up, and sure enough, it confirms my suspicions all along. 877-282-2337. That's the text machine. If you run into something wretched on the internet box, idea@wretched.org.
This is from Jeff. Todd, I've heard you make some pretty strong statements on how we as believers can be quick to draw boundaries with other people. My question is, when is it okay and appropriate, specifically with non-believers who say they don't want to hear the gospel and just want to go on the attack?
Well, related, but sort of two separate issues. I think the rule that will guide you through making those decisions is who's zooming who? Who's zooming whom? Who's having more influence on whom? If your friends, if they are not believers, even if they are believers and they're having a bad influence on you, more so than you are having on them, it's a pretty good idea to be wise. I do not get this from boundary drawing. I get this from the Proverbs, which say your friends can really have an impact on you. So choose wisely, grasshopper. If your friends are influencing you negatively, then wisdom says you should be choosing other friends. But that is based on biblical wisdom, not ghosting. Now, having said that, there are other Bible verses that apply to relational issues. What are we supposed to be for other people? We are supposed to be serving other people. We're supposed to be helping other people. We are supposed to be salt and light with other people. And if we just ghost everybody, cut everybody off, we can't do that. Especially in relationships. I see this. We'll do this next week. I'm super tempted to do it now. There was a really great article from I believe he's secular psychotherapist. And he was talking about the therapeutic culture that has been created where everybody who doesn't agree with you, everybody who doesn't affirm you, that they're terrible people. He was admitting it, that psychotherapy has contributed to that pernicious mindset. It's devastating so many families these days. And he's absolutely right, because there are no rules other than if you don't make me happy for a second, I'm cutting you off. That is not the way the Bible says we're supposed to interact with people. We're to be patient, long-suffering with one another. Furthermore, difficult people, they can grow us in fruit of the Spirit. And so we receive proverbial wisdom, which says you got to protect yourself to make sure that you are not being dragged down the drain. But having said that, there's also biblical wisdom that says be patient, be loving, be serving with one another. And you're going to have to find that balance. And you're going to have to work through that on a case-by-case basis. And if you're not sure exactly how the scales are tipping, then make sure that you're running these issues through with people at church, with people who know you, who will listen to you, who can give you an outside perspective that is based on biblical wisdom. So use those, at least those two principles, as you go about the business of deciding if you're ever going to part company with somebody. It should be slow, it should be thoughtful, it should be prayerful, and it should be absolutely for the right motives, and it should be absolutely necessary. Now, the reason I said that's a slightly separate issue from somebody that you're trying to evangelize, and they're shooting back at you. Well, there's a couple of options. You can stay in a relationship with them and stop evangelizing them. If you've clearly presented the gospel, you do not need to keep sharing it with them and receiving their lashings in response to you proclaiming good news to them. So you can stop and have a relationship and stay in their lives, and maybe the Lord will use your witness to impact them. If somebody, however, if they're being like nasty back at you, I think we've got really clear biblical mandate from Jesus. If you're witnessing to somebody and they are going to be a dog or a wild boar and attack you, and like it's dangerous, like they're going to hurt you, or even if they're just being so nasty, Don't cast pearls before swine. Now, that can mean one of two things. You just stop interacting with them totally. I would then point you back to those aforementioned two principles. Or you can, once again, just stop sharing the gospel with them and stay in a relationship with them. We don't want to follow the current drumbeat of civilization that says you are the center of the universe. Anybody who bugs you, ghost them. That is simply not biblical. It's simply not Christian. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, what would you say to a friend of mine who is refusing chemo because God knows the hairs on her head and the day she will die? She doesn't want the poison in her body, she says, because if God is going to take her home on the day he has already ordained from eternity past.
Too many details for me to speak to this specific case. I would be very foolish to do that. I do think, though, we can back away from the, let's just use that question as a springboard so that anybody, if the person who wrote that is listening, you don't think that I'm like angling for this or that, because I do not know the circumstances, because there are some variables that make a difference. How old is this person? How aggressive is the cancer? What is the success rate of the chemotherapy? What are the side effects of the chemotherapy going to be? All of those are considerations that need to be weighed on a case-by-case basis. Now, having said that, I think that there's at least two issues that need to be weighed from a biblical perspective when it comes to the issue of medicine and saving your life at a particular cost. How does God view life? Well, it's precious. And he gives medicine for us to have a better life and to even save our lives sometimes. It's courtesy of God through the hands of scientists who invent medicine, or they come up with surgeries that help our lives stay alive. So I think we look at medicine and we go, blessing. Now, is there ever a time when it comes to viewing life where we say, I can reject that good gift? And I think the answer to that can be yes. There can be times when I think the rule is, and again, I want to be careful that I'm not responding to the individual who wrote in, when it is clearly imminent, when death is a certainty, and it's a decision between, okay, and I'm just, again, we're talking in generalities here. Let's say the doc says, if you don't do the chemo, 3 months. If you do the chemo, 6 months. But the chemo is going to make you really, really sick. If somebody were facing that, I wouldn't say that they're being a sinner by rejecting that sort of medical intervention. But I think the key in the conversation, it's weighing the issue of life, seeing medicine as a gift, seeing life as being precious, and yet that does not mean that in every single instance you have to take what the doctor prescribes. If you are motivated to hasten your death, if you are motivated to just clock out of here, so therefore I'm going to reject it, I think that's to reject a kindness of God, at the very least, potentially a sin, because he has given medicine as a blessing. But if you are confronted with a situation where death is imminent, it's a certainty based on all of the science that we know, it is a certainty, and the chemo is going to extend your life a little bit, but wow, the side effects are going to be a beating, and you're not going to have a quality of life for that extended amount of time, I don't think that it's a sin to reject that. So those are principles that I think need to be considered: the blessing of medicine, the gift of life, and then the individual circumstances need to be weighed. And if you do that, and you do it faithfully, and if you do it in a Christ-honoring way, you're not doing it because I'm scared of this or I'm terrified of that. Make sure there's no idolatry involved, that there's no fear of man involved, that there's no fear of suffering involved. And then you make a faithful decision, and that's God's will for your life. And just as a side note for all of us, then this is just on my mind right now because of what I'll be preaching Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church about suffering. Arm yourself to have the same mind as Christ, that you will suffer. Now, We know that Peter had persecution in mind, the suffering that comes from being a righteous Christian. But I think the application even applies to the category of health. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. I think it applies to the category of relationships. You're going to have people who hurt you. Arm yourself. Have the same mind as Jesus Christ. It is going to happen. The student is not above the teacher. Our master suffered, and he deserved none of it. There's no reason for us to think that we should escape it totally and completely. And if you adopt that mindset and you commit to that mindset before you need it, and you strengthen that muscle on a regular basis, God is sovereign. He only does that which is good for me. And God, he would never do anything to punish me for my sins because Jesus was. So I can rest and trust my good and sovereign God. You'll be ready to suffer. You'll be ready to suffer. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.